Thank you. Well, welcome. Happy New Year. You know, it's the first Sunday of the year, which is kind of awesome, kind of amazing. It's a great day for us as a church as we have our grand opening of the new children's building, and we're excited about that. We're going to give proper thanks down the road, but Shelly, is your dad here, Shelly? They're late to church. Well, then I won't say anything about George Vaughn of RVK, one of the principal architects of our project. We'll thank them and the builders and subcontractors and all that stuff at a future date, but I just wanted to give a shout out to him. They've done a great service to our church for a number of years and just great people to work with and Christian men that have the best interest of the church in mind is a very, very, very big blessing, as well as Better Built, which was the general contractor, and that's Mike and Matt Serp. Mike and his family are a part of Curry Creek, and you'll get to see all that if you haven't already. You'll get to see all that, and we're super happy about it. Just obviously this morning, I woke up early and thought about what's transpired over the last 19 years of Curry Creek, and for those of you that were a part of that, and there's only a few of us, if you will, that are left, but when we started meeting at Middle School South in their, their cafetorium, that's the only part of the building that we had access to. And so the only place to do children's ministry was in the halls. And it was like cattle stalls. I mean, we just put baby gates, multiple baby gates across the hall. And we brought everything in on a trailer and all the children's supplies, all the children's ministry supplies. And our faithful teacher set it up and tore it down week in and week out. And then, so when we came over here, when Curry Creek, in one of those God things, we were able to occupy this facility, not this facility, but the stone chapel and the little metal building behind it. When we developed children's space in the two-story, we thought, man, this is awesome. This is such a massive upgrade. And it was. And then we outgrew that and needed to bring in the portables. And y'all are, most of y'all have been a part of the progression from there to here. But when you go from four portables and a small two-story building to 33,000 square feet, it's just one of those things that it's just hard to wrap my mind around, to be honest with you. But what I want to share with y'all today is this, that God was faithful to Curry Creek when we had 15 or 20 kids in the hallways of a school, and God was faithful when we had this facility, and God's faithful to bring us this far, and God will always be faithful. So when Curry Creek was small and tiny, God was faithful. When it was medium, God was faithful. In its present size, God is faithful. And what I want you to hear above anything and everything is not that we're wonderful, but that God is faithful. And so I want that to be an encouragement to you. I want to share a story with you out of God's Word. It's found in 1 Samuel. And Samuel was the last, if you will, of the judges of Israel. Judges, don't think of a court, think of leader. And in 1 Samuel, there's this story of Eli, who was a terrible father that raised terrible sons that abused their position as Levites in the worship of God. The Israelites and the Philistines are at war with one another. And Eli's two sons get the brilliant idea that we'll take the Ark of the Covenant and we'll allow the Ark of the Covenant to go before us and we'll be invincible. See, we think that Steven Spielberg had that idea first, right? In Raiders of the Lost Ark, whoever has the Ark, they're invincible. No, that was a wicked Israelite notion long before Steven Spielberg was around. So they just thought, well, we'll use it as this talisman, this magical thing that we have. Now you remember the Ark was that box that held the Ten Commandments. It held a jar of manna. It had these artifacts in it, and that was cool. But really the point of the Ark was that Ark symbolized the presence of God. Not only that, that was the place where the high priest went in once a year to make atonement for the people. So that was a place where God and man met. So it's God's presence and God's provision. And the Israelites misunderstood all that. They thought it was about an article, about a thing, rather than a relationship. And so they send it out, and much to their chagrin and horror, the Israelites are defeated and the ark is taken. And the ark goes into Philistine territory, and things don't go well for the Philistines as long as the presence of God is among their idolatry. In fact, they put it in the temple of Dagon, and they go in there one day, and Dagon, this huge statue, is prostrate before the Ark of the Covenant, and his head's broke off, and his hands are broke off. He's rendered powerless. So the Philistines go, we probably don't need to keep this. And so they hook it up to a cart, and the cows mysteriously take it back to Israel. And the men of Kiriath Jearim, they're the ones that happen upon the ark, and they take it. And the Bible tells us that the Ark of the Covenant remained with the men of Kiriath Jearim for 20 years. And all Israel mourned. So it was outside of they were no longer participating in the presence and provision of God. And so finally, they come to Samuel in their mourning, and Samuel says, if you're really returning to the Lord, then here's what you need to do. You need to put away all the idols. You need to put away the Ashtoreth. You need to put away the Baals and be devoted to the Lord single-heartedly. And the people agreed. And so Samuel, in that famous story, takes a rock. I don't know if it was a rock or a rock. I don't know. But Samuel took a rock, and he called that rock Ebenezer. The Lord has helped us, this stone of help. And he takes this and he puts it down, and we sing the song, here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come. So this rock of remembrance, and then Samuel tells to the people, the Lord has helped us thus far. In other words, God's been faithful this whole time. God's been our help this whole time. We're the ones that have backed away from him. He's been faithful to us. We're the ones that walked away from him. You go, wait a minute, John, that doesn't sound like very encouraging to me, because the Lord's been with us thus far, i.e. there may be a point in which God is no longer with us. Now, but before you go there, I want you to ask yourself this question. At what point has the Lord not been faithful? At what point has the Lord said, I am no longer having anything to do with you? You see, even in our discipline, God disciplines those he loves. Hebrews tells us that. So even in our discipline, God is approaching us. God is pursuing us. God is allowing us to undergo that which is painful in order to draw us back to himself. There's never a time when God is not faithful. In fact, he is the only being in all of the cosmos, in all of anywhere, that is completely faithful all the time. We as a staff aren't always faithful. You as parishioners or as believers are not always faithful. Why? How do you know that, John? Because we're fallen, sinful people, and we need a redeemer. And God has graciously provided for us in Christ Jesus. It's his faithfulness that pursues us. It's he that sends grace, the hound of heaven, to pursue us, rebellious man down the long corridors of time and eternity. And God pursues, and God pursues, and God pursues. And he captures our hearts. So when we go over there and we enjoy that building, I want you to enjoy it. Eat 5 cups of donuts, turn your kids loose, drink 12 cups of coffee. It's awesome. You're going to enjoy every bit of it. And we want you to. But just remember that that's an Ebenezer. God is with us, that God has helped us. It's about him and his faithfulness and his provision and his protection. And God has been with us thus far, and I know and believe that God will be with us in the future, because he is the covenant-keeping, faithful God. So when we were little tiny, 50, 60 people, God was faithful. When we were 150 people, God was faithful. When we were 450 people, God was faithful. When we built this building, we go, it'll take us forever to occupy. I mean, we're never going to fill that building up. And before we ever moved in, we were already in two services. And then we went to three, and we said, I'm dying. The worship team's dying. Let's make the chapel overflow so we don't have to do three services. And Lord willing, we may have to go back to three services, and that's okay too. That building is built to accommodate as large as Curry Creek will ever get on this piece of property. It's just one step toward doing what we feel like God's calling us to do, but it's His faithfulness that has brought us this far. So let's let that building be what it is. It's a building. It's an Ebenezer where we remember God and His faithfulness. Now, I want you to do something with me. I think music has the ability to engage the mind and the emotions simultaneously like nothing else can do. And so I want us to sing. And this has been Eric Cate's dream since he came on staff, being a former Church of Christ guy. We're gonna do it a cappella. And so he's over there rejoicing. He's on cloud nine. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to sing this song that most of you know, and if you don't know, listen to it. It's called Great is Thy Faithfulness. And we're going to sing it together. And we're going to sing it standing. And at the end, we're going to sing two verses of it. We're going to stand. That means it is now. We're going to stand. And we're going to sing this song. I'll try to start us off in a key that we can all sing in. And we're going to sing this song, and I'm going to have y'all be seated. We're going to pray, and then I got a quick announcement, and then we're going to turn you loose into the building. Sound like a plan? All right. Y'all sing this song with me. Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. Father, this is the cry of our heart and the testimony of our mouth that You are faithful and there is none like You because only You are faithful all the time. So, Father, we thank You for loving us and being faithful when we were small and in the eyes of the world insignificant. And, Father, thank You for being faithful to us as we have grown and become influential. Father, help us always to look to You, always testify to You of Your goodness and Your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you guys stand up. Just keep standing. In your chair, you see Creek Life, right? You see that? And I want you to take it home and read it. Stuart's written a great article in there about adoption, a phenomenal, and it highlights some of our families that are a part of adopting. Now, when you go over into the new building, there's a downstairs and an upstairs. If you need assistance, there's an elevator. It's awesome. And so there's places for you to get in different locations, places for you to get a t-shirt. So we have a free t-shirt for everybody. Now, here's what I want you to know. Gray is for adults. So everybody repeat after me. Gray is for adults. Awesome. Y'all are amazing and intelligent. Secondly, blue is for students. So 6th through 12th, blue. Now there's multiple sizes, but blue. Red is for children. Okay. And we got onesies too. So here, now, important. I don't want to see any adults in onesies. In fact, nobody wants to see any adults in onesies, okay? So here's what I want y'all to do. I want you, just because there's a crush of people and there's all our staff and a lot of volunteers are over there to guide you. So if you want to know, hey, where's my student going to go next week, or where's my child going to go next week? If you'll ask, they'll point you and you can go right to it. But we want you to enjoy the whole building. We want you to have a great time. So let's get out of here and go celebrate God's faithfulness. Thank y'all for coming.